WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are celebrating 31 years in Baltimore radio as of Tuesday this week. We're going to be celebrating on Thursday. We're going to go to my homeland of Dundalk with my people, Rock and Rollers. We're going to be at Costas on Thursday. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have some holiday cash drops to give away, as well as some Raven Scratch. I'm having a handful of these left. Come on out to Costas. It's all brought to you by our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. 0% financing. And in my place, this is the first winter with new windows. I'm very, very pleased with myself. So in the course of human events, I cover a lot of things, talk about a lot of things. I've done a lot of sports for a long, long time on the field, off. They even let me in the press box on Sunday in Pittsburgh where I could do my job, and hopefully you read my column. This is a Baltimore Ravens story that came to me late last week. I don't know a lot about it. I think we see the Ravens marketing in so many ways, Ravenstown, and they've used Mo Gabba's name as part of their Baltimore thing, M-O-R-E in the end zone, and they've had various blackouts and purple outs. I go back as far as David Modell getting sued for the flying B on the trademark back in the day. I still have my my Ravens flying B ski cap. I tell you what, this came to me honest. I have a friend of a friend of a friend who knows Greg Stone, who was a partner and co-chair of intellectual property and technology section. I minored at that at UB. He is with Whiteford Taylor Preston and was involved in is litigation the right thing to call this? Greg, I'm trying to figure out all of what happened around something that I thought to be like, if I would have thought I could have trademarked Charm City, I may have gone at it a long time ago, huh?
Yeah, right, no doubt. But right now, we are not in the litigation phase. So we're in what we call prosecution, okay? And the terms get confused frequently. But among intellectual property practitioners in the IP world, prosecution is actually the application process at the Patent and Trademark Office. So on the patent side, you've got a new invention, somebody files an application, you're marshaling that through, that's prosecution. Here we're talking about a trademark application at the USPTO, and it's in that prosecution phase, which just means it's going through the examination process.
I did go to UB, but I stayed away from the law classes. I saw how you smart guys operated over there. I was just trying to get out. Patent and trademark, explain all this to me and what happened with Charm City as a term. And I can only think about like the crazy Hun lady that was trying to say, I own the word Hun, owning the term or the trademark for Charm City. I mean, this place has been called, I don't know who coined it, probably some writer, H.L. Mencken or something 100 years ago, but what happened in this case to bring you to my audience, and what were the Ravens trying to do with the term Charm City?
And so first, we're only talking here about trademarks, which are different from patents.
Patents are something you make that creates something, right?
Exactly. A patent is a new invention. A trademark is a brand.
It's an intellectual property. Okay.
Well, it's all intellectual property, but a trademark specifically is a brand. It's a brand of a product. It's a brand of a service. It's the brand face that you're putting out to the public for whatever the product or service is that you're offering.
Right? Like Baltimore Positive here right now, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's your brand. That's your trademark, Baltimore Positive.
Okay.
So what the Ravens are trying to do is lock up a trademark registration. I've got a copy of their application here. What they're trying to do is lock up the term Charm City.
So in other words, if I called myself Charm City Radio, the way 100.7 calls themselves The Bay or IYY calls themselves 98 Rock, had I decided to call myself Charm City Radio and buy Charm City, it might be taken, I don't know. But if I wanted to, that would be like me saying Charm City, right? Like in the way that they went after the wheelchair team that was called the Ravens 30 years ago, right?
Essentially, yeah, if you're just out there using Charm City, particularly for a service that relates to football. And so that's part of the hook. The trademark that they're after, it does link specifically to football, but a little bit more generalized than that. They're after it for posters and calendars that are related to football, for magazines relating to football, for flags, football flags, for clothing that is football themed.
Could they just put Charm City? Nobody owns Charm City, right? Like, you can use that. And there are, I mean, there's all sorts of Charm City businesses, right? All sorts of businesses call themselves Charm City Shoes and Charm City. I'm sure there's hundreds of those kinds of things, right?
So here's where it really gets pretty interesting. Yes, you're absolutely right that there are loads of people out there that already use the term Charm City, and they use it for a bunch of different things. But at the Patent and Trademark Office, there are folks that have trademark registrations. They've gone through the process of filing an application and actually getting a registration. I'll talk through what they are, but here's some examples. Charm City Cakes, Charm City Meadworks, Charm City Buyers, Charm City Run, Charm City Soaps, Charm City Burger Company. All of these, believe it or not, are actually registered trademarks at the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. So these folks like Duff, the cake guy, filed a trademark application for Charm City Cakes, and he got that trademark registration through and ultimately has a registration for the term Charm City Cakes, all used together. So he's got that registration.
My buddy Josh has Charm City Run, right? Like, I buy my shoes from him, right? Like, I got these here last week, right? Like, literally. So he's already in the Charm. It's the name on his door, right? Literally,
right,
for all these businesses.
Right. And so, you know, to their merit, what the Ravens are saying is that we're not trying to lock up Charm City altogether. We're not trying to go out and prevent everybody from using the term Charm City. And in fact, the term Charm City generally does describe Baltimore. I don't think anybody's going to be able to argue that Charm City does not describe Baltimore. And so they're not trying to prevent Baltimore businesses in general from using the term Charm City. They're trying to get exclusivity to using the term Charm City as it relates to specific football-related stuff. Football games, so entertainment services, broadcasting relating to football.
But why wouldn't they just stamp Charm City and call Charm City Defense or whatever, and they could use that term at any – what's the benefit to having exclusivity other than trying to screw other people from using it? And then saying, well, from here forward, no one else can use Charm City Toothbrush Company or Charm City Dentistry or whatever the next thing that comes down the line that's a Duff or a Joshua wants to open, or Charm City Radio in my case, right?
Right, right. But that's the whole reason anybody goes through the process of getting a trademark registration. It's to wrap up exclusivity. And what that means is excluding other people from using whatever your mark is in a way that would cause confusion out in the marketplace. So let's say that they've got Charm City football hats, baseball caps that are football team themed somehow, right? And they want to block Joe Schmo out there from selling football themed hats using the term Charm City, because them doing so might tarnish the reputation that they now have wrapped up around their clothing line that is branded Charm City. So you're absolutely right. It's a ticket to court. It's a right for them to go out and pound on other people for using that term Charm City for clothing, for flags, for posters and calendars, and football games.
Who dreams this up at in the Ravens office? I mean, I
don't.
Marketing
folks.
So the marketing folks say, if we own Charm City, we would be able to make more money. I'm lost, right? As a media member that got thrown out recently, I don't know what the hell they're thinking about lately or who Bisciotti's employing, or, but I'm trying to figure out where the real strength in this would be. And in your role as an attorney in saying, this would be like saying I own the word Baltimore, kind of, sort of, right?
Well, and that's the rub here. I mean, Charm City Cakes, it's not just Charm City. It's Charm City Cakes. Charm City Meadworks is those three words, Charm City Meadworks. So this one is a little bit of a bolder play by the Ravens, because they're going after, again, it's in the football realm specifically, but nonetheless, they're going after the term Charm City. If they were going after the term Charm City football, Charm City game day, Charm City Ravens, you know, something like that, it would be a clearer picture than where they sit right now. But it's really interesting that the way the Examiner has positioned this case right now, I've seen coverage of it, and everybody's saying they've been rejected. While that's true, there are statements in that action that came out from the trademark office that already give them an out. It gives the Ravens a path forward. The Trademark Examiner has already said, and I'll explain what this is, if you move your application from seeking registration on the principal register, which is the main thing you think of when you hear about a registered trademark, you know, a registered trademark usually is referring to the principal register. Well, there's another register that we call the supplemental register for more descriptive marks. Registration on a supplemental register is not as powerful as a registration on the principal register. It doesn't carry the same presumptions of validity. It just doesn't carry the same strength, but it's still a ticket to federal court. It's still a trademark registration. It still lets you use that R in the circle, telling the world, this is my mark. And the Trademark Examiner in this office action that came out has already told the Ravens, if you move your application from the principal register to the supplemental register, we're going to allow it. Now, that doesn't mean that it won't come back and somebody else will throw a flag and say, you know what, Charm City is just way too descriptive. We're not going to let you have that unless you add the term football or something like that. But for right now, where this case stands, if they come back in and move their application to the supplemental register, and there are a couple things they have to do that, but if they move it to the supplemental register, this examiner has said that they're going to allow that application to go through.
Greg Stone is here. He's an attorney. I'm trying to be unconfused by this to some degree, Greg, and with wife Taylor Preston as well. The supplemental part of this and getting this done, who is playing God? You keep referring to this examiner, I think of the old newspaper here, or the San Francisco Examiner. But who gets to decide? Who's the Supreme Court of this thing?
Yeah, well, the Supreme Court is the Supreme Court of this thing, ultimately. where it sits right now is it's in front of, and I'm calling them an examiner, but they are, in fact, an examining attorney at the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. So that's someone that is a licensed attorney. They're a government employee. They work at the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, specifically on the trademark side as a trademark examining attorney. So it sits with that individual attorney right now. They're going through the process. And again, if Ravens come back with that response, this examining attorney has said they're going to allow it to go through. Now, if for some reason that examining attorney supervisor sees the case and says, you know what, Charm City is by itself just too descriptive, I'm not going to let it go through, then that supervisor, who is another attorney, could say, no, I think we need to issue another objection. We need to hold fast, not let it go through. If they reject it and Ravens want to fight on from there, it goes to a board of judges at the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office for them to consider. If they were to lose it there, it goes out to a federal appeals court. And then from there, if they lose and want to keep fighting it, it would go potentially to the Supreme Court of the United States. But right now, it's in front of an attorney at the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office.
Greg, you went to school for this. Obviously, you do this every day. Compare this to something that you've seen in a book or something that held or didn't hold, that this is really unique. I mean, it's an interesting thing to talk about because, like, at any point, right, if a guy like me, who's all Baltimore, I'm a Baltimore guy, that if I would have dreamed this up, or a sharp guy like you would have came to me and said, hey, man, you should, you Baltimore positive, you should be Charm City positive, and you should own the words Charm City. I'm trying to figure out how, I mean, I'm a marketing guy, but I'm trying to figure out A, how I make dough on it, B, how I really stop other people from using it or want to have the wherewithal to do that, that I'm making so much money that I don't want anybody else to have it. And it's something that is so not no one in Owings Mills came up with calling Baltimore Charm City and said, let's do this new thing, right? I'm trying to figure out other cases and in other jurisdictions or wherever where something like this would happen where you're trying to grab on to something that already exists that is not your creation or your intellectual I mean, Charm City should not be anybody's intellectual property. It's a term that's used here by – it's like when we fought Hun 10 years ago where there was a thought about you want to own that expression? Like you can't – who's going to allow you to do that? Well, when the government's going to say yes to that?
Right. And again, you know, they're not looking to own Charm City per se. They're looking to own the use of Charm City to promote football games. And to own it for the promotion of clothing that is football themed. So it is particularly that segment. And but this issue I see all the time of what we call geographic descriptiveness. And broader than that, descriptiveness of trademarks generally. Trademarks exist on a spectrum. Really fanciful terms are very, very strong and they're pretty easily registrable. Nike, I don't think it has an English translation. I don't think the word in English Nike means anything. So because it's a made-up term, it's a very, very strong and valuable mark. Whereas if I wanted to trademark the word computer, because I'm out there selling computers, the trademark office would not let me get a registration for that term because I can't stop the computer shop down the road from calling the computers that they sell a computer.
I mean, it seems so absurd on the face of it. You know what I mean? That part of it, right? Yeah.
Right. And so laying that descriptiveness issue over the geography issue, our trademark laws say that a term that is geographically descriptive, you know, likewise has problems as a trademark because we can't prevent a Baltimore business or a Charm City business because really everybody knows Charm City means Baltimore. We can't prevent a Baltimore business from calling itself a Baltimore business. So that's why these other registrations have gone through with an additional term on them. Charm City Cakes, Charm City Meadworks, Charm City Buyers, etc. I'm surprised that this application that the Ravens have right now that is just the words Charm City has gotten the indication that it's gotten from the examiner that if you switch over to the supplemental register, you'll be okay. We'll let it sail through.
You think that shouldn't be that way, right? You think that's wrong?
I do. I think that is too broad. I think, again, if they went after Charm City Football, Charm City Ravens, Charm City Game Day, they should be entitled to that registration just the way these other folks have gotten registrations for another word in addition to Charm City. But just the term Charm City by itself, I think that's a reach. I'm surprised to see the position of the examiner. And if it does go through, I would not be at all surprised to see one of these other owners of these other marks raise their hand and say, wait a minute.
Well, this is what I was going to ask. Like, if I wanted to open a donut shop tomorrow and call it Charm City Donuts, I don't know that Charm City Cakes would have a case, but maybe. And if I open a place that's called it Charm City Track instead of Charm City Shoes, and I don't know where that really gets, you know, where you really bump up against something, right? And you would have a problem. I would think in this case, giving Hun or Charm City or City of Brotherly Love or the word Chesapeake to somebody, it's just, it feels to me to be like, it's too ubiquitous for you to own it. It's already in the public space. You can't own that. It'd be like owning Santa Claus. You know what I mean? Like, you can't do that.
Right, exactly. And that's why this one to me looks like such a reach. It is. I mean, saying Charm City is almost no different than saying Baltimore, you know, period. And so Baltimore Cakes would presumably be registrable. Baltimore Meadworks would be presumably registrable. But without that additional word, I think it's a reach.
Well, and, here's the weird thing. What if I started calling myself Charm City Positive? Like, seriously, like I could do that right now, like whatever. But if they own it, they send a guy like you a little letter telling me to C and D, right?
Well, it depends on where the registration ends up, right? But if they had just the term Charm City, one of the services that they're going after is entertainment services. And Baltimore Positive, the program that you're offering falls under that same class of goods or services. It's entertainment services. So yeah, I would say if they have a Charm City registration for entertainment services, namely professional football games and exhibitions, fan clubs, they would at least have an argument to come after Charm City Positive, Charm City Radio, Charm City Entertainment, because they have a registration for Charm City in that class of services. I don't know what kind of enemies they'd be making in Baltimore if they did it, but...
Well, how did you get involved in this, Greg? By the way, Greg Stone is our guest here. I want to certainly plug your firm, let everybody know exactly what you do. Greg is the partner and co-chair of intellectual property in the technology section right here in Baltimore with Whiteford, Taylor, Preston. They're in Baltimore, and they do all sorts of things. But what was your involvement to get involved in this and have your name in the paper, as they say?
Well, and also just to say, multi-generational Baltimore myself, and happened to be a Ravens fan.
I knew I liked you.
this is just a case that's gotten decent press, and to see something that creates a little bit of excitement in the trademark world, sometimes it's a little bit rare.
Boring and stuff, you know.
right. But nonetheless, to get something that has this kind of press, I mean, a lot of people are out there talking about it, and so and commenting on it. It's just one that's really got a lot of interest.
What's the next step, real quick? What happens next? So they were denied primary, but can be a part of this secondary supplemental.
Right.
Sorry, get the terminology correct. What happens now?
So this action issued on December 6th. So they have until March 6th to file a response or file a request for a 3-month extension of time, but they'll file a response and they will argue their position back to the examining attorney. And the things that they can do there is just switch the case over to the supplemental register. They'll have to provide evidence that they're actually using the mark now, that they've got clothing out there, that they're promoting the games with the Charm City mark on them, that they're promoting branding with Charm City on it. But if
they could do any of that anytime they wanted to, right? But
correct.
To own it outright. I mean, they could call it Charm City Game Day in a heartbeat, right? But they want to trademark it first and then utilize it, correct?
Well, actually, they have to be using it. If they want to move to the supplemental register, this is a little hook. In order to move it to the supplemental register, you have to be using it out in commerce first.
Okay.
So they would need to be out there with clothes that are branded Charm City. They would need to start on the broadcast, you know, having Charm City or inside the stadium or promotions for the game, you know, have to be using the term Charm City. But if they do that in the next couple of months, they start that promotional effort, submit evidence of that use to the trademark office, they can switch it over to the supplemental register. And based on what this examiner has said, that will let them go through, move forward the application process. Essentially, it would be approved by that examining attorney. If it gets to that point, and the examiner, the examining attorney has allowed that case, then it gets published. And it sits in this publication status for a period of 30 days. And the whole reason for that publication period is to let other folks, members of the public who might be harmed by the grant of this registration, to say, I have an interest in this term and I am going to be harmed by you guys coming in and locking up exclusivity to the term Charm City. And so I'm going to oppose your registration. And they could have multiple people coming out and doing that because
An attorney like you gets together and finds 20 people that already have Charm City and say, I'll represent you so that the Ravens aren't coming in here and usurping your ability to use your own brand, right?
It's certainly possible that you'll see that people will pop up and say, no, I'm going to be harmed by this registration because I've been using Charm City in my business for the last 20 years. And I can't have this registration granted and me now be nixed by your existing registration. And so they could come in and oppose, and there are different ways that might be resolved with settlement between the Ravens and those other businesses that are out there, basically agreeing we're not going to sue and you can continue on with your business. A lot could come of it. Or you get a big entity that comes in and just fights and says, no, we're going to fight it tooth and nail and try to block this registration from coming out.
Greg Stone is here informing me and entertaining me as well about all things patents and trademarks and the Ravens trying to own Charm City in a football vernacular. You've been a great guest, man. Ravens are playing a little bit. Are you a believer? Do you believe they can win the Super Bowl? That's the main question I'm asking because they are 9-4.
Yeah, good performance yesterday. You bet I'm a believer. I am every year, though.
You believed in Kyle Bowler, right? We all did. It's no problem. Greg, I appreciate you. Thanks for coming on and educating the audience. It's a fascinating topic, and it certainly rubs right up against the Ravens. And, I've learned most of my life through sports, so it should be no problem that I should learn trademark, and have attorneys on talking about a football-related trademark. So I appreciate you coming on. Good to have you.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. My pleasure. Really, really appreciate you having me on.
Hey, Whiteford Taylor Press, what do they do? Tell me about your firm a little bit, because, I've known various people that have worked there, but, you're like a really full-serve, big-deal, top-tower, law firm where serious people take serious matters, right?
Yeah. We are a business law firm. We resolve all kinds of business issues for companies that are two-person startups to Fortune 500 companies. We're about a 180 attorney general practice business law firm.
Good. Give me my press credential back. Greg Stone is here. He's at Whiteford Taylor Preston. I appreciate you. Have a great holiday.
Absolutely. You too. Thanks
all right.
So much.
Cool. We are going to be doing the 31st anniversary of all the things we do around here on Thursday. We're going to be at Costas in Dundalk. I am going to ask for Crab Imperial, so I feel like a king. We're going to be giving away some Raven scratch-offs as well as the holiday cash drop. Roz dropped these off last week down at Fadley's. Had an unbelievable Baltimore day at Fadley's on Friday with Dan Rodericks. Had him on the Crab Cake Tour. We're bringing the Crab Cake Tour to Dundalk this week at Costas. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, conjunction with our friends at Goodwill Industries, as well as Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free, 0% financing. It's a better deal than even I got back in the summer. So take advantage of that. Get yourself some new windows. My windows are 39 years old. They're now about 4 months old. It's much better. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive, but never Charm City positive.